You've stopped in at the Guidepost, brought to you by the American Saltwater Guides Association. Stock up on gear, grab a coffee at the counter, and get ready to hear incredible fish stories from the best captains on the East Coast and thought-provoking conversations with stakeholders and policymakers working to protect these fisheries. This podcast is presented by Costa Sunglasses. Hey everyone, welcome to the Guidepost. We are doing the second installment of Shop Talk today, and that's where we just get a bunch of us who work with the Guides Association on here and talk about ridiculous stuff that that we've either seen in real life or something relevant that's like rolling around Instagram. And we hope you enjoy the ridiculous side of what we do. So today we got Scotty, Kyle, and Bailey. So we got the South Atlantic, the Northeast, and the Bahamas, and the Gulf of Mexico represented. How's everyone doing today?
Fantastic.
good, Tony, man. How are you?
I'm Bailey, your microphone's glowing red. Is that a good sign or a bad sign?
It's just, I don't know. Maybe I'm about to start some like hate speech or something.
I don't know. I'm looking at it. It looks very demonic from over here, man. I'm a little concerned. I guess it's usually, usually like out of the camera, I guess. I'm like, God, what's going on there, man? He's got like a pile of fly rods in the back and stuff. Like probably half of them are broken. Hey, before we even start talking about ridiculous stuff, I hope if you've been out, the weather's a little bit better, Bailey. I know you have been cursed since the beginning of January.
It has been just a slog down here with the weather, which, you know, it happens. But, you know, the whole like El Nino year thing, I mean, we've just been kind of getting pounded. We did have like one good day last week, and it's crazy. Like, you get one good day and there's like freaking fish everywhere where they're supposed to be. So it's kind of nice. Like they do still exist. It just need the weather to not be shitty every single day. So one day we'll fish some more. Right now time flies.
I'm not feeling a tremendous amount of empathy seeing as it's rained for 6 years straight here and it's like 42 degrees and the wind's howling. So I don't know, man. I'm digging deep, but you know, look, one of the things that's kind of taken over social media is people running their boats through rough inlets, videotaping them and kind of grading them. And the other thing is watching people try to navigate a ramp. I can tell you, you know, in the Chesapeake Bay, opening day of striper season is the equivalent of like St. Patrick's Day in New York City. Like you're going to see something. You're going to see something crazy. There may be police involved. And I've always said, like, you know, before there was social media, we always said, like, we just sit there at the ramp with a video camera and make like $1 billion uploading it to YouTube, right? Probably should have done that. So I'll kick it off. You know, as many years ago, it was a ramp down in Southern Maryland, and I had this old 20-foot sea craft that I love and just deeply regret getting rid of. It's just one of those boats that like you're just like, God, like why did I do that? So I mean, I'm sitting there patiently waiting in line and I'm doing all the etiquette things. I've got all the lines ready. I've got everything to go. I'm launching it by myself. Got this thing down to a science, and I'm looking at this guy in front of me. He's got like a 1989 Bayliner. And look, my boat was ancient and I fixed it up a lot. I'm not degrading the age of a boat, but like, come on, people. Like sometimes you see a boat and you know what you're going to get, right? Like you just kind of know it. I mean, it's the same equivalent of like, you know, seeing like a truck going down the street with like, you know, one flat tire and garbage in the back. You kind of get in the other lane and just, you know, try to avoid them. So I'm looking at this guy and, you know, there's two ramps. And there's a catwalk in between the two ramps. So you can walk out on the catwalk and get your stuff together. And actually really nice ramps, really wide. And I'm looking at the guy and it's a little dark. I mean, the sun was up, but it was a little dark. And I'm looking at him backing up and I'm like, what the hell? And his one tire all of a sudden starts riding up on the catwalk. and he's backing down, and his every foot he backs down, the angle's getting greater and greater on that trailer, and you just hear like a gun go off, and that tongue just pulled off that trailer ball. Trailer goes down. He didn't take his bow line off. Had the winch and free spool. Boat's now attached to the trailer. Trailer sunk, floats off the end of the ramp. Everyone's just sitting there watching like, holy Christ, we're never going to be able to launch our boats. And now you have a boat like free floating out in the little lagoon, blocking pretty much both ramps now, that's tethered to a trailer that's floating like into the abyssal plain. And it was, I mean, it's funny now to talk about it, but I just kind of wanted, it wasn't funny then because I wanted to go fishing, just to prime it up. And I know that y'all have seen some crazy stuff in inlets, some ridiculous things out on the water or at the ramp. So I just wanted to tee it up and prime the pump, but I'm going to turn the conversation over to you guys to please share some funny. Kyle's right. Kyle's primed. Kyle's rubbing his head and laughing.
I know. Well, because it's like, I think you mentioned that point of like, it's funny now, but those train wrecks are hard to watch sometimes. You know, you're there in person. Pissed. You're like, you know, you're like, okay, well, I was supposed to be on the water an hour ago. Or two, you're just like feeling for that person. You're like, I watched a guy dump a boat off. It's not a long story, but I watched him dump a boat off a trailer. It was like a 36-foot boat. He just started to meet that decline of the ramp, and his boat just slid off. And you just watched the husband and wife both get out of the car, go look at their giant boat that far off on the concrete from the water. And you're just like, I was like, I'm going to have to wait a few hours before I can laugh about that. That was a tough one, you know? But I think my favorite, and I'll kick it over to you guys, was, and this was just like, I had 5 minutes of frustration, and then I was like, all entertainment, just good fun. I was at a boat ramp in southern Maine, not something we typically see. There was a lady down there with her horse. I was like, I don't even know where this horse came from. There's no horse trailer. So
everyone just turned around and is like totally focused on Kyle, because most trailer stories don't start. There was a lady with a horse.
I'm intrigued.
So we're all laser focused on this story, Kyle.
So this lady, I'm watching her. She brings her horse down. I've never seen this lady before. Clearly she's somewhere local. I'm assuming she either rode the horse to the boat ramp with her son or grandson. And I'm, you know, I'm kind of right there about to pull into the ramp to get my boat in position to get it back on the trailer. And she takes the horse down into the water, and she's got this long lead on the horse. So now the horse is just doing circles in the water. There's a backup of trailers too, which is the beautiful part. There's no real perception for what's going on, that she's holding anything up. And meanwhile, this horse is just swimming around. Then her grandson comes down, who's probably 10 years old, takes his shirt off. He gets on the horse when the horse comes back out of the water. And now he's riding the horse around in circles in the water, which I didn't know you could just get on a horse while it's swimming and go for a ride, let alone do it at a boat ramp when you're blocking.
That's how seahorses are made.
Yeah, it's gotta be, but that was my favorite. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna kill the engine. I'm just gonna hang out and enjoy myself, because this is good stuff here.
How'd you finally get rid of her?
Okay. I
think the horse got tired. I think the horse got tired of swimming around with that kid on its back.
Was it a fat kid? You'd think that would drown a horse, you know, swimming around with a human on your back.
There's a lot of odds where
defied. Hey, this is just the horse version of an endless pool, okay? You just get him in there on the boat ramp and have him swim in circles until he starts sinking a little bit.
Oh, so good.
That's crazy. Our boat ramps here are obviously pretty crowded. Like, we don't have people riding horses to downtown Charleston boat ramps. But I had a charter one day, and I was backing down, and there was a Jeep Wrangler it's a three tier or a three bay boat launch. And a guy was in the middle, and he had jackknifed his trailer to where it jumped over into the other lane but there's no boat around. I don't know how he got his boat off, and there's nobody in the parking lot. So he had left his car there and taken his boat out. Right. So I figured it's probably just one of these mechanics that was running around. Well, it was right by a drawbridge. It turns out, so the sheriff's department shows up when I'm getting all my stuff ready, which just inherently makes me nervous for no good reason. But they were like, who's trailer is this? I have no clue, man. It's not mine. That's my truck's back there. Well, this guy came tooting back up to the boat ramp, and he worked for the news company, and he had a sailboat had tried to make it under the drawbridge and, you know, T-boned under the bridge. So they got him on the bridge, and he just had this real cocky attitude to him and was like, they're like, you can't block two lanes of a three lane public boat ramp and just leave. He's like, well, I'm a captain. And the sheriff's officer goes, oh, that's great. Put your hands behind your back. He told me they put him in the car. He's like, if he wouldn't have run his mouth, like, I'm a captain, we wouldn't have been like, oh, we obviously know better. So, you know, they arrested him right there, towed his car and his boat. And I had to wait on clients, and I was sitting there like, this is the greatest, you know.
I wish we had police enforcement at our ramp. That would clean up a lot of the holdups we have. I can't tell you how many times we've like had one dumped on the street. I mean, it's like multiple times a year, some dude just dumps a boat. Because the way that our, like the May ramp we go to is it literally, like the road goes right through the boat ramp. So you got to cross the road to go in. And I can't tell you how many times somebody just dumps a skiff or dumps a boat just on the highway. And here you are just sitting with the boat on the highway. I always think too, it's a great way to gauge how well somebody's marriage is, because husband and wife, when you get the guy getting out just screaming at his wife, and you're for like, sure, man, how many more of these can your marriage take, man? You need like five more fishing days and she's filing the papers, I think.
Yeah, <I'm>
screaming. So true.
I've almost come to words with people at the ramps, like, man, calm down. You know, like, did you teach her how to do this at all? You know, just expect her to back a trailer down a one lane dark dirt
road. Cut it left. Cut it left. Stop. Throw the boat off. Every time.
Dude, none of these people married a Sicilian girl. I can tell you that much, because not at any point in my marriage would I hand my keys to my truck to my wife and say, back the trailer down. I said, go to the gift shop, get whatever you want. I got all this. It'll be in the
wall. You get back.
It'll be ready in 5 minutes. Just come, you know, go to the bathroom, do whatever you have to do, sweetheart. And, you know, I'll grab your hand and you can get on the boat. I mean, to me, you got to have some serious gonads to put yourself in that situation. Like you are stacking the deck against yourself, right? That would be my two cents on the issue. Like there is some risk aversion, you know, that you need to just kind of factor into your day-to-day life.
I'm going to start doing some trailer backup classes, see if I can reduce the number of divorces in Southern Maine. I bet you'd see a correlation. You know, you see his trailer skills going up. It's harmony in the summer household.
You're right. I mean, you'd probably make a ton of money doing it. New boat owners.
Yeah, you know, screw couples counseling, man. You don't need that. Just go take some trailer classes. Right. Trailer class with Kyle.
Bailey, this is dovetailing. And look, if you don't want to tell this story, I think it's one of the funniest stories I've ever heard. But just your it's not one of the bad ones. It's not one of the horrible ones. I know those, and those will not appear.
I'll say there's plenty that shouldn't make it to the.
No. We're not going to do those. But the one with your boat covered in mud, and you got, when you were washing it off, you got mauled by your favorite Louisiana insect. Your day from hell that you had. Yeah, there. Oh. Did you guys see the moment when he realized the story I was talking about?
Wait, which one are you talking about? Like the one that just happened, or the one where
The one that just happened. Yeah. That's it. Imagine somebody looking at that. Like,
are you talking about the one that happened over the summer?
Yeah, with the weather.
Yeah, so, you know, oh my God, this was like one of the worst. This was the worst day. And I remember texting Greg Moon, and I was like, worst day ever today. So we had this like big group trip. It was a three boat trip, and it was in the middle of the summer. And like the fishing was really good, probably like 45 minutes to the south of where we launch. So, you know, we're making a bit of a boat ride to get out to where the fishing's at. So we all head down, and like upon getting to the first spot, Greg's boat like has this weird, like the motor, the tilt, the trim motor on the engine was going out. So like it was kind of stuck halfway up, and we're far. So it's like, okay, crisis management time. Moon, I'm taking your clients, put them in my boat. So now I've got four guys in my bay boat that I'm fishing. And he has to get, you know, has to get back. So he's like starts limping back, and I've got me and one of my other guides with me who's running like a small skiff, and we are far. And it's the typical Louisiana day where everything in the morning was glassed out perfect. Well, in the afternoon, the one spot where you don't want a thunderstorm to come, it starts bubbling up, and we're all just like, okay, well, let's just wait it out. Surely it'll fizzle. Well, it starts just kind of creeping down on us. And I'm watching, I'm like, shit. I'm like, this thing's not going anywhere. And I've got this guy in my other guide's in a freaking dinghy. And we're like 45 minutes away across open water from getting to safety. So I like start texting my buddy. I'm like, all right, man, like we're going to have to run through this thing. So where we are is like kind of down towards the river, and some of the like shallow spots can move around on you. And I've got a boat full of dudes, and these are all like big guys. I mean, none of these dudes are little. This is my boat is significantly weighted down. And so I start cutting across this bay, and I mean, I've never stuck a boat that bad. I stuck my bay boat so damn bad on this sandbar. It was like, oh my God. So this storm's like right in front of us. There's lightning. Like it's like Zeus has started the wrath on me, like bolts coming down. I'm screaming at my clients, get out of the boat. Like we got to get this thing off because the tide's falling. So I'm like, we're like royally screwed right now. So I get all these guys out of the boat, and these are like, I felt awful. These are like older guys. I mean, we are not like I'm helping them in and out. I mean, we're in full, like I've got the geriatric ward in the water around my boat basically. And like, I'm pushing this thing off the bar, I'm covered in freaking mud. I mean, I look like the swamp thing. I mean, it's terrible. I get these guys back in the boat, and we haven't even started going through the storm. So then we drive through this hellacious thunderstorm. One of my guys is like hypothermic on me. Like he's literally like, I'm like looking at him. I'm like giving him my rain jacket because he didn't have rain gear. And he's like, I just want to make it home, Captain. I just want to make it home. And I'm like,
oh no,
we're on death's door out here in the middle of the Gulf. And I'm like reassuring this like 70-year-old man, like, it's going to be okay, man. Just wrap up. So we get through this thing all to get back. My boat looks like it's just mud. I just took mud and just Jackson Pollocked it, the whole thing. Like I get in the ramp and I'm pissed. Like I'm just had the worst day. The clients were being clients, I guess. And like, they're like worried about something in my boat. And I'm like, dude, I'll give it to you tomorrow. I'm going to see you in the morning. Don't bother me. And like, I'm trying to spray my boat off. And while I'm doing it, I get in, Tony's texting me about something. And I look down and my feet, I'm like, I literally got mauled by fire ants. Like the worst since I can remember, since I was like seven. Like, I mean, how many times do you hear a grown man get bit up by fire ants? It just doesn't happen. Well, today, I mean, I got smoked. I mean, it was like days of bites. And I just remember texting Tony. I'm like, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Like, I just had the worst freaking day of my life.
Tell him about how you had to pull your pants down at the marina.
Oh, dude, I had to take my pants off. I was in my ex officio boxer briefs running around.
Because of the ants?
Oh, yeah, dude. They got in my freaking, because I had those like deck boots on. So I didn't know they were in me. So they were like,
yeah,
in me. I mean, this was full blown coverage, head to toe.
Yeah, because they attack it once, right? I mean, they send that like little chemical signal, and they're all situated for the.
It's making my legs hurt just talking about it.
It's just like, ah!
The feet feel cold at first. You know, you don't even think you're getting bit. You're like, oh my!
It was awful. I jumped in the water at the ramp to anybody who's been to Hopedale Marina, like that is last resort situation.
Yeah.
I had a Yankee roommate in college that was wearing like Birkenstocks down here, and he stepped in fire ants, and we had to cut his Birkenstocks off because his feet swelled up so fast he couldn't take them off.
Oh my God.
Northern blood, or like, because that doesn't do it to us, but we had to cut them off.
Damn. Yeah, that's rough. Yeah, I didn't do any swelling. The extra tufts didn't have to get cut out. We managed to salvage that, but it hurt. It was bad.
That with the Birkenstocks.
Dude, you know, it's funny, Tony, you brought that up, because like while I'm sitting here, do you remember that day I texted you the picture of like, you know, to anybody that doesn't know, I just have like, I have shit happen to me that probably is a product of sometimes just flying by the seat of my pants a little bit.
I think a gentle way to say it is a proportion of it is self-inflicted.
Yes. I'll own that. I had water coming up through my bilge on my skiff. Do you remember how I sent you the picture and I'm like driving and there's just water coming up through the hull of my boat? And I'm like, I like stopped at the last spot to fish these clients. When I got up on my push pole on my platform, the back of my boat, the deck went underwater. And I was just like, like, I'm like, oh, we're going to give this 20 more minutes. And then, like, I looked back and saw that. And I was like, never mind. We're going to start heading in, guys. It's getting a little late. And, like, I'm sinking actively. Somehow, actually, that one was not self-inflicted. I had a crack in my hull. So, not my fault. But, like, we were slowly sinking all day. And it didn't become apparent till like, the last, you know, 20 minutes of the day. But upon getting back, I was fully underwater. I barely got back in.
This is, ladies and gentlemen, this is the best of our industry right here. This is the best we've got.
Hey, we made it back safely. On the way in, I was going through the mental checklist, got my flotation stuff here. If I need to throw these clients out and SEAL Team 6 them while going 30 miles an hour, like, we're ready. I mean, like, come on, like, just roll out of the back of the boat, guys. We're going.
Hey, man, the return flight's extra, Kyle.
That's right.
He got him there. Exactly. He caught some fish.
Exactly. Yeah.
We did have a good day.
About that part. We had a couple days like that in the Bahamas where, you know, sometimes you just get a little wrapped up in what's going on. And I have to pick and choose between which one of these. But anytime you see the sun go down in the Bahamas when you've got over an hour run, it's just not a good deal. You know, like, there's just you need light to get around down there, you know, and so you're just rolling the dice. We watched tide was perfect. It was like you know, it was 6:30 or something. We're just watching tails and catching tailing bonefish, and out at one of these beautiful times where I get to be on the boat and go enjoy what we do down there. And we've got a few clients around. We got a couple boats like an hour away from the lodge, and we just watch the sunset go down over the Casuarina trees, and all of a sudden take our eyes off the tails and we're like, holy smokes, there's a big storm up north, which is kind of a random time for a big storm to kind of move in. Usually it's a little earlier in the afternoon, and all of a sudden we've got, you know, I'm running one of our head guides, like 35-year-old Hughes, that's definitely taking on water. It's this old two-stroke and you know, doesn't have comfortable seats. And I've got a photographer in my boat who was shooting some of the other folks that were fishing, and we're working. I'm out there with Travis Sands, who's just an excellent boatsman, has done a lot of running at night. A lot of guys have run at night in the Bahamas for various reasons. And so Travis is like, I got this. I know this. And the dude is like, he's got a built-in compass like you can't even imagine. I mean, you could put a blindfold on him, spin around 30 times, and he'll point at due north. And he gets us home. But he's like, he's almost more so worrying about me, like, is Kyle going to keep up? Is Kyle going to like stay on my toes? So he would keep looping back around to make sure I'm with him. But I'm like, I'm just staying a safe distance behind him because it's picked black and I can't even see where his boat is. And he'll loop back around, and all of a sudden I just see this other boat, just like his boat, just like coming back around for me, having to dodge him. and we make it back limping, and then we hit this storm like 15 minutes from home, and we're just like drenched, you know. And even when we're leaving, I make the dumb move of being like, my wife Kitri, I'm like, we'll be home in like an hour. I, you know, it's always a very optimistic hour. It was like an hour and 45. Couldn't get the phone out because it's, because everything's drenched wet. Just one of those nights where you just like, you get back to the dock and everybody's down there waiting for you having a beer. And they're like, you guys proud of yourselves, huh? You kind of threw a wrench into the rest of the afternoon for everybody here. We've been worrying about you all. I don't know what got me on that tangent. But
Kyle, you said something that perked me up. There's a couple things that are true across the board for every single human like us on the planet. An hour is really about 2.5 hours when you're fishing.
Hour goes by right, quick.
There's no, like, the space-time continuum, it's like a wormhole and it warps. And, like, my wife at this point in our marriage is just looks at me and goes, you don't know how to tell time. And that's the end of the discussion. And I go, you're right. You're probably, whatever's in your head is probably more accurate than.
You just got to up the number. If you're going to be home at 2, tell her you'll be home at by dinner, you know? And when you're home early, you're not in trouble.
Where were you 20 years ago?
Yeah, it took me 15 years of marriage to figure that shit out.
Over time, so cool. You will get them accustomed to you.
Have y'all ever been in a horrible boating situation with your wife? This is before smartphones, okay? And I was on that Sea Craft, and I was about 22 miles from the ramp, and we had actually gotten out. We were looking for, like, there's beaches around here that has like shark's teeth and stuff like that. Everyone was fishing. It was fun. And it got a little choppy. And I was like, it's getting a little choppy. No big deal. Nothing the boat can't handle. And like, I said, hey, you know, let's start heading home. And the worst thunderstorm I've ever been on the Chesapeake Bay sat on us for hours, and it turned a 35, 40 minute run into about 2.5, 3 hours of like barely being able to get up on plane. I mean, if y'all are familiar with like the 20 foot Sea Craft, like it's not a center console. It's almost like a rear console, you know, the console set like real, real far back on them. I had waves coming over the bow, and I would look up and they were coming over my head. When we pulled in, my wife had like a death grip on one of the oh shit handles, and I had to like pry her fingers off with like a crowbar. And she just looked at me, and there was just nothing to be said. And I'll never forget, like, I was like, wow, that was horrible. I can't believe we made it in. And just the sigh of relief when we hung a left into the inlet. And behind me, I shit you not, there was a 38 foot lures that was listing 25, 30 degrees to the port. I mean, limping. And all the guys looked like they saw a ghost. And I have never seen waves that big. Waves get bigger all the, I've never been out in waves that big, that ferocious in the Chesapeake Bay. And it took like 5 years for my wife to get back on a boat with me, which isn't the worst thing, right? I mean, this is the worst thing. But like, there's not a Christmas or Thanksgiving that goes by that I'm not reminded of that, right? Like that, yeah. So I don't wish that on anyone.
I kind of said it as a joke when I got married. My wife was like, "What do you want to do for a honeymoon?" I said, "Let's rent a houseboat in the Florida Keys." You know, just like, that's never going to fly, you know. And she was like, "You know, that sounds great." So I was like, "Holy shit, we're going to rent a boat in the Keys." So go down there. This crazy old dude owns the boat. His name's Rebel. He generally gives you a kind of a small touring area, but he, you know, he's learned boat experience. He's like, man, go over the hell you want. You know, we had to have insurance to tow us off of sandbars and things like that. But for our wedding present, he gave us a 20 foot Mako to kind of tour around, get off the houseboat and things like that, load the kayaks in it, and had a bimini top on it for the wife and sunbathing. So we were naturally in the Keys. You go to the bars until sundown. So we left one of the bars, and I thought I knew where I was going, and I kind of didn't, and I kind of hit a sandbar pretty hard and pretty fast. So before I, and I, like I said, we left the bar, so I didn't even think about just jumping out and paddling it off yet. So I did have a paddle in the boat. So I get out and I lay on the bow of this giant boat and I stay in the sand and I try to like unwedge the boat and I break the paddle. So I'm like, shit, now I don't even have a pole to push off this thing, right? So when I'm walking back to the boat, the V hole, when we're both on one side, it kind of gets off of that edge and it starts to float. It won't float dead center, but it'll float if we're all on one side of the boat, right? So it starts floating and I'm like, Jesus, honey, we need to start rocking the boat, you know? So I'm start running back and forth and she looks at me like the idiot that I am. And calmly takes the bimini top, folds it down in half, and we freaking sailed off of that flat like as fast as a trolling motor would take you, dude. And I'm looking like definitely made the right choice with that one, but that's what she always brings. Remember that time I saved you from being arrested from running over the flats and the Keys? But you know, so they're good to have most times. But they will definitely remind you, like you said, Thanksgiving and Christmas. Anytime we get on the boat, she's like, well, we need a bimini top.
I might have witnessed the dissolving of a relationship from clients in my boat one time. This was like my first season of guiding. I always tell this story because like it reminds me of how much sure of like my calls I am now as opposed to back then. So like first season, it was May, and the weather forecast was perfect. I had scouted out an area, which like scouting, who does that now? Like I just go fishing. But back then I was like trying to scout places. But anyway, I found these fish. I take this like newlywed couple out and they had never done it before. And like 10 minutes into the day, I don't know what happened, but you just turn around. It's like absolute like destruction sky behind us, just black skies everywhere. So I'm like, oh gosh. So I knew that we should probably call the day. And so I'm like, guys, we might have to like go in. And the guy was like, what? Like, we just got out here. And like me being the young guide, I was like, oh, well, maybe we can make it happen, man. I'll try to keep us out. Like, I'll do whatever I can. Like, I knew I should just say, no, dude, we're going in. Like, sorry, but I didn't. And so we like skirted the edge of this just total awfulness with this husband, wife. Again, they had never done it. And I will never forget, I mean, I skirted this thing for like 3 hours. And then there was a point where it was done. So I look at the guy and I'm like, man, look, we got to go in. And you could tell his wife was getting like more and more concerned with the like cannon fire going off behind us from all the thunder. And I'm like, I think your wife is like, it's going to be hard to get her to go back in a boat with you if we don't go now. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, we're about to go through hell. So we like get to this, like, it's like this like straight shot 8 mile canal back. And you can only see about 2 miles down it because there's just this wall of like death like coming. So I'm like, dude, we're going to just have to go through it because it's either going to get us out here in open water or it's going to get us in the canal. So I'm in my little skiff and I just gun it right down this canal. We get in this thing and like the wife is like laying in my boat, like sobbing, like laying down in the boat, like curled up in the fetal position. And her husband's like looking at me like, what have I done? And I'm like, and he looks at me and he like legitimately is like looking at me. He's like, are we going to make it? And I was like, well, that's the goal. I mean, I think so.
So like,
your
baby.
Wife is never going to go fishing with you again, dude, ever.
I mean, he might be smarter than all of us. He's like, I'm going to take my wife to the charter on the fucking nastiest day so she never wants to go with me again.
Oh, dude, he pushed me to the very edge. And like, I always tell that story because nowadays I'm like, we're going in. Like, sit down. Like, there's no discussion. Back then I was like, well, maybe you're right. Maybe it'll go away. And it's like, oh no. It did not go away.
Scotty, I had one of my more interesting times on a skiff down in your neck of the woods. I wouldn't be able to point it out on a map, but I was fishing with a buddy down there on his boat, and I won't tell any names, just which will be clear after the end of the story. But so we were like we wanted to try and check out this cool creek that I guess it kind of drains out to the ocean side somewhere in the in between Buford and Charleston. And so I remember we're trying to get into this creek in the first place. And we both had to get out of the boat to push it over to this one high point. And because the tide was dropping, so we barely just had enough water, get back into this creek that was going to then drain out to the ocean side. And so we're like, okay, cool. We made it in there just barely. Awesome. Obviously now our only way back home is from the ocean side. And so we explored this creek, had some cool fishing. It was definitely a full scout mission, and it really didn't pan out with the fish like we had hoped. Meanwhile, we watched the winds come up like, I don't know, it was a good 25, you know, not to exaggerate, out of the east, right on shore. And the seas got nasty so quick. And you know, and I always kind of forget how you guys have a lot of water that moves down there, you know? Yeah. And so there was current rolling and probably a little bit of a mixture of swell too. And all of a sudden we get out to the ocean side and we look at this little inlet that we have to go out. And we're just looking at like these, it would have been beautiful if we were like hardcore surfers. But we were in a small flat boat that we now had to like,
not what you want to hear, right? When you're in a skiff, this would be great if we were surfers, man. Right?
Yeah, for sure.
Like Apocalypse Now going on.
Even if we were surfers, we would have had to been good to say that, you know, to handle what was going on out in the ocean that day. And so, you know, this guy had a lot more experience than I did at the time. And so we're kind of in it because we were tying everything that we have down in the boat. We were securing anything we didn't want to lose. And we're like, let's go, dude. We got this. We got this, you know. And there was a little space between the swells. And so we watched for a while. We finally picked our window and we just ripped it. And there was like this, you know, definitely a lot of sand had moved out there. And like, and so you had to at one point go over this very shallow part of the inlet. And we finally, like, because we chose a moment where there were small waves, of course, like the biggest set was like right there, like as we got over these small ones. And just like this wave that we hadn't even seen break out as far as it did was like the one that we're like staring at. I can feel us like going up at an angle over this wave. You can hear the propeller stop spinning at some point because it's just like we're just like high centered on this wave and the propeller is just like spinning and you just feel it grab a little bit of water. It just pushed us over and we are out. And we ran just out past the waves and like bear hugged. We're like, oh, dude, that was just one of those moments where you're like, oh, all right, baby. I feel alive right now.
That's no really joke, why bro. We all do this, right? Near-death experiences.
Right? I guess the other option was to just like hang out in the marsh all night. We would have gotten eaten alive by bugs, but it worked out.
There's no CMs would have carried you out of the marsh for you.
I was about to say, how bad did the bugs get over there, Scotty?
Not as about like you, about like Louisiana. Okay.
So pretty miserable at times.
Yeah, the no CMs are a little worse than the mosquitoes, but just to
this time of year for us, if it ever stops being cold, it's going to be bug craziness this time of year. It gets gnarly.
Yeah. Great news. Great news. As the title holder for worst bugs Bailey has ever seen day, that is lovely news to hear, Bailey, that they're going to be horrible shortly. Yeah.
That day with you and Blaine was like the worst thing ever. I'm just glad Blaine was also complaining about him so bad because it masked my, I was totally having a freak out. I didn't want to be in there. But Blaine was complaining about the bugs so bad, I could just use him as the scapegoat. Well, Blaine, listen, Blaine's not happy. We need to get out of here.
Scotty, they flew up Bailey's pants and were chewing on his man bits.
What's with everything getting in my pants, all these bugs?
Dude, we were covered. When I mean covered, I mean like those videos you see of like people in Alaska that are like completely covered with mosquitoes. Yeah. That's what it was like.
And no like seams.
Any part of your body that was exposed, one bit my eyeball. Not my eyelid, not my...
That's
not
called
my
Louisiana LASIK.
Around, like, yeah. It was, I felt it's like little razor teeth go into my eyeball. And Blaine was just moaning in the back.
He really was. Mr. Chocolate was not happy.
I think they're an aphrodisiac in some Louisiana counties, aren't they?
Listen, hey. Yeah, I can't say that I'm any worse for wear after that, as far as that goes. So, yeah.
Hey, honey, you want to go inside?
Yeah, I'm definitely going inside.
Let's go out and watch the sunset.
Yeah, right. Dude, you know what's funny about that? I remember moving into this house, and like I live like pretty far down here close to where we fish. And I remember when we moved into this house, I left the door open to like get a bunch of shit in the house. And it was this time of year and the bugs were going off. Dude, we had to take a freaking vacuum cleaner and vacuum the ceiling because there were so many damn gnats that got in the house. I mean, it was like freaking salt and pepper ceilings on the freaking roof because all the damn bugs. We had to vacuum them up.
Can I get you a bug zapper?
Gross.
Like Water Boy.
Apparently.
Hey, man.
I put it inside.
Entertainment, too.
Put it in the bedroom.
Bug zappers are really entertaining. Like, is
you're not supposed to touch them.
Dawns on you how creepy you are. They're so much fun.
They put out a nice hippie glow, nice aura on your porch.
Hippie glow. That's really the vibe I'm going for at my pad.
Bailey, what are those? I got tore up by those. I swear to God, the only place that they live is Louisiana. I'm trying to remember. They were like purple tail wasps or something. Like, what are those wasps? What are those freaking wasps in, like, I got lit up when I was a kid by, it felt like somebody put a ball bearing in a wrist rocket and shoot me with the things as I was like trying to run away. Purple tail
wasp is a new one. I mean, I don't know. We've probably got some Asiatic like death wasp action going on down here. So it's probably one of those things. The first known case of human interaction back then.
Dude, oh my God. Did you see the article? So look, I want to see everyone's expression when I say this. So there's some non-native little bug that's eating all the Roseo in Louisiana, which is the plant that holds the marsh together. Okay. So I get like all these fisheries alerts and everything, and I'm plugged in for, you know, everything that we're paying attention to. And I see this article and somebody was just awarded, you know, like $1.6 million to study the problem. And one of the things that they're looking at is importing a parasitic Asian parasitic wasp
to deal with the Asian scale beetle, whatever
the Asian scale beetle that's eating. And I mean, I was like, has anyone ever heard of a cane toad and like what that did to Australia with the cane, the answer for the cane beetle? And I'm like, should I call these people and just tell them that story? And it's not a really good idea. I look forward to being the host organism for a parasitic wasp, an Asiatic parasitic wasp, when we next visit you, Bailey.
So let's get started on a cane toad farm real quick, and then we can bring the idea, monetize it.
I'll be patient zero for when they figure out that like bores into your brain or something if you're human.
I would not
really
be surprised.
Really looking forward to that. It's the only thing that could be the curtain call after last year. I need a little bit of credit though for what we went through because I didn't say a peep, dude.
I had
laser focus, man. I had laser focus. Poor
pretty
Cody.
Sure we caught a sheep's head during that saga.
We did. And poor Cody. Y'all know Cody. Cody is like he is about as white as ivory soap. Okay. I mean, he is like, he just look at him and you're like, that boy's got delicate skin, right? Like, I mean, and I love you, Cody. I know you're going to be listening to this and editing it. You know, man, you know, I'd lay down in front of a train for you, buddy. But that kid was like a no-see-em magnet. Like, as bad as he was like a 6'3" welt. Like
perforated Swiss cheese.
He was like, he sent me pictures of his face, and I was like, good God, man.
It was bad.
It's just one of those, he's one of those people that like four guys could be standing around. They're like, what, is everyone else getting eaten alive? And you're like, no, me and Scotty, between the nicotine, liquor, and God knows what else, like the bugs are like, I didn't want to bite that dude. And there's Cody, like, you know, virgin blood, man.
We were also licking toes at the boat ramp, so that probably helped.
Hey, all right.
Like the no-see-ums bite us and they fall off and die. You know what I mean? Like they're like, see Cody and he's like grade A, like, you know, Wagyu beef, dude. Like,
listen, Victoria's Secret Amber Romance is all you need. That's the key. Amber Romance from Victoria's Secret. I told
Lou that because he's coming down to fish with you. And I think he thought I was funning with him, that it was like some kind of snipe hunt or something. Then I was like, dude, get the Victoria's Secret Amber Romance. And he's like, yeah, sure. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to spray that. And this New York guy coming down to like fish the marsh of Louisiana and spraying like Victoria's Secret on it.
Well, I always tell guys, we got to make sure we can
do it. It works.
Second, because I was like, how the hell are fleecy panties going to keep bugs off of you?
You have to wear
Scotty,
them over.
It works. Scotty, it works. Try it next time you go
wear
out.
Wear them over your quick dry, Scotty. Damn it.
Ex officio has new boxer briefs, the ones that Bailey wears.
They're not lacy, though. Listen, I always tell guys, when we put the Victoria's Secret on, we have to make sure we get fish pictures, because if they're coming back to their wives in the city, they're going to really have questions to answer. Smelling like freaking perfume.
Yeah, it's one of those perfumes that sprays on glitter, too. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So you get a lot of trouble.
I wear it even if there's no bugs. Yeah, that's just part of sunscreen and Amber Romance. I'm just get it on the chest.
Coming home with perfume be easier to explain than coming home with red panties on, though.
Maybe. That's
maybe. I don't know.
Hey, listen, I live in New Orleans.
It's Mardi Gras, Scotty.
Exactly. What do you think I'm wearing next week? Damn it. I'm not even fishing.
He got a free pair with that microphone.
He's the doorman. Across the aisle.
Oh, my God. Okay. So we have covered a lot. I think the one big takeaway from this is we are not kidding. Victoria's Secret Amber Romance is like the one thing that can stop no-see-ums in their tracks. Kyle's like doing like a $100 order and drop shipping it to the Bahamas.
Exactly.
Kyle, you should actually try it. And you don't have to put deed on any of your stuff.
This is an elaborate joke that I'm going to fully take the bait on, but it's worth it. I'll try anything.
I can send pictures in the group text of my used bottles in the boat. It is clear that they are in use. Here we go. Buy yourself some Amber Romance. Listen, Kyle, I know you're already creeping around Victoria's Secret as it is. How many times can you go in there with a legitimate reason?
Right? At least I'll make it productive this trip. I'll buy something.
Yeah. Hey, look, Kyle, if it doesn't work, give it to Keytree. The freaking Valentine's Day is right around the corner, man. It's like, you know what I mean? Hedge your bets, dude.
Good to go.
Oh, for the love of God. We did not get to the second topic of fish eating birds, because that lionfish thing has gone viral, and we will save that for another time because we're already 50 minutes in. But I just want to thank everyone to listening to our ridiculousness, and you know, hope it brightened your day a little bit. You may be shocked, but this is not a scripted podcast. It just kind of shows you like the bullshit is strong. You're a fisherman, you know, it's how you got to pass the time when the fish.
How do you think we make money catching fish? For God's sakes.
Well, the truth is Bailey's got a commission on Amber Romance. So the sales, yeah.
Royalty, it's a royalty deal.
Right. He literally just sent me a link. So I'm going to purchase it through that. So he gets his commission.
I think he gets a kickback from Pantene as well.
Hey, listen, I've got multiple distributors. It's a royalty in perpetuity.
Dude, if he didn't, he'd be broke.
I use my
shampoo lasts for 7.5 years, right?
The hair that I just realized what you were saying, Scotty. Yes, I do. I didn't know we were going to hair jokes now, for God's sake.
First time I met you, I thought you were an almond brother.
Now Scotty's gonna buy the Amber Romance. There's gonna be like Fabio on the bottle. It's gonna be Bailey.
Yeah,
it'll be me. Like hold the girl at sunset. You'd be like, God damn, you got commission on this
on a horse. It'll be like that horse in the water, shirtless,
yeah. On a centaur. Yes, Bailey's yes. A centaur with a sword.
I'm a centaur. That's what Cody told me he wanted to film when they're down here. I've got to do some shirtless horse riding at the.
I want to know. Hey, Kyle actually knows a horse that likes to swim. If that's just to
we
bring
need to
it
fly
back
it down.
To the beginning of the podcast.
Hell, he's swimming over there.
Oh, baby. Let's go.
Oh, for the love of God. All right. Well, listen, if y'all like Shop Talk, let us know. Because, we're always doom and gloom. And we just try to have a little bit of fun. So I want to thank Bailey, Kyle, and Scotty for taking a little bit of time out of their day to hopefully entertain y'all. And listen real quick. We're cranking these podcasts out as fast as we can. So make sure and follow us on Spotify or Apple. Here we hope to have you on here again real soon. All right. Thank y'all.
Y'all take care.
Bye, boys.
Thanks, boys. See you guys.